Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Hey, everybody. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday. We are recording from remote locations once again because Robert, the world traveler that he is visiting home, which is on the West Coast. So I'm watching Rob in the place that he grew up, you guys, the infamous basement. I don't know if there's records in a hidden closet somewhere, if there's a trap door that perhaps has the Playbill collection.
I'll take photos and I'll show you everything. But good. First, I'd like to sing a song that I like. It's called Home from The Wiz.
Oh, The Wiz. Mm.
When I think of home, I think of a place with calories overflowing. See, I changed it up a little bit because in my house, we didn't really have love. We had food. Thank you so much. All right. Have a good night, everybody.
The posts on social media is like, you at the grocery store. You're right, Rob.
I want to show you everything. My God, my dad was so happy. I bought him a whole thing of Hickory Farms. And if you
were excited about that.
I was excited about it. If you love Hickory Farms, come sit by me, my imaginary chair. Kevin, I feel so bad. Before we went on the air, I cut you off because you were telling me a story. And I was like, we got to start recording because I'm hungry and I want dinner. Do you want to finish your story about the tofu bacon?
No, I don't. But I do want to give a shout out to. I have failed to mention the show that I'm working on for the last 2 weeks. I have a big concert on Monday night.
Yes, you do. You're all over Playbill.
I was going to tell you about it. You guys, we talk a little bit beforehand. We're on Skype right now, but Rob likes to start the recording at like an even time. So literally, he's like, "How are you, Kevin?" And I was like, "Well, you know, I'm good. We're up 15 seconds." So yeah, I just full disclosure. So Closer Than Ever, I've been working Closer Than Ever, and we're doing a big gala performance of it. It's a concert version, so it's not the entire show, and we're doing it to honor Donna Murphy, and it's to benefit the Abington Theater, of which I did one of these last year when we did And the World Goes Round, and Chad Austin is directing, DJ Goodwin is choreographing, and it's a great roster of people. I'll tell you, come to see Liz Calloway sing Patterns. I'm done. Bye. Good night. It was amazing. She's amazing. Her voice is sick. And I got to tell you, it has been, you know, Maltby and Shire will be there. And listeners, if you haven't listened to their interviews, they are fantastic. We interviewed both of them. Richard, we've interviewed a couple times. And I have to say, it's been such a pleasure getting to know this music better. I knew a couple of the songs because I think the actors that we are or directors that you are, we did them in college all the time because they're such story songs and you learn a lot by performing them. But it's been such a pleasure to get to know them again and hear. It's just some top-notch. Julia Murney singing Miss Bird. Yeah, it's funny. It's
she's like, going to sing Miss Bird.
It is so funny that I had thought, is the scatting funny? I don't know. Nope, it is. It's very, very funny. So that's on Monday night.
So this is exciting. So last year you did And the World Goes Round, and this year you're doing Closer Than Ever. Do you know what you'll do next year in which I will not get an offer for the third time?
I'm hoping really Rosie, but you know, you never know. You never know. For those of you who don't know, that's the Carole King musical.
That was not good, beautiful. Kevin. That was really good.
I tell you, these ideas just pop into my head, Rob. I don't know. I don't know. They just pop in there.
Great. I can't wait to not be in the third gala fundraiser for the Abington?
Yeah, Abington Theater.
The Abington Theater. You know, look how associated I'm with the theater. I don't even know how to pronounce it. And still I'm not getting offers. Still not getting offers.
It's crazy, Rob.
Go on to Playbill because there's some great photos of Kevin at the piano.
Oh, yeah. We had like a little press day and it was really fun. Bonnie Milligan and Justin Sargent sang the baby song. There's like it's called A Fandango and it's about taking care of the baby. It was really funny. Mm. Nick Benton, who was in he was the standby in Carousel. He sang If I Sing, which a lot of people know that song. And then Connor Ryan sang What Am I Doing? The creepy guy song, which is like, what am I doing up on the roof?
Do you get to sing? Did they let you sing?
Oh, no. I'll be on the grand piano with a bass player to my left, and I will be happy, Rob, to just making that music, like the collaborating part. I know this is going to sound really nerdy, but regarding performing versus being a music director, I just like to be a part of it. You know what I mean? Like, it's Pollyanna, but I just love to be making the music with them, like collaborating with them in a way. And when you have, and I love, you know, young people and students and all of that, but when you have professional, seasoned Broadway professionals and you get to collaborate with that kind of practice, you know, I mean, they've been practicing it longer. It really is fun. It really is really, really, really fun. So I just am happy. No, but no, there will be no singing from me. Thank you very much.
So what you're really saying is that I'm not experienced enough to be in the company of these individuals.
Oh my God. I totally forgot we were still talking about you and, part of
this. Yeah. Well, usually the conversation doesn't veer off of
We'll discuss it next year, Rob. We'll see what we can find, you know.
Great. Maybe. Great. Can't wait to be on the sidelines when really Rosie's up there.
I will say this though, we could do a musical by the great Carol Hall, who unfortunately we lost.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was on my list of people I wanted to talk to.
Yeah.
And we'll let the devil take us. We'll go down to Vegas, see what I did there, and celebrate her.
Because you like the Best Little Whorehouse Goes Public.
Bad. Oh, it was a favorite thing. And so does Robbie Rizel. Hi, Robbie. Yeah. We'll let the devil take us. We'll go down to Vegas. Come on. Who doesn't want to rhyme take us
to Vegas?
I mean, guys, that's what's not to like.
Eat your heart out, Stephen Sondheim.
What's not to like, I ask you. No, but
I love that score.
Wonderful that we have her work and that she made it and existed.
Very quickly, if I may, can I introduce you to my father?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
He's walking by.
Hey.
He's walking by on Skype. This is not fun for anybody on radio. He's saying hello, Dad.
Hi, Dad. How are you doing? I've heard so much about you.
Tell him I've heard a lot about him too.
I've heard a lot about you.
Good things only, right?
Oh, only good things, always, yes. Of course.
Yes. You heard about me selling heroin on the streets here in Thousand Oaks?
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. There it is. There it is, Rob. That's
it. Yeah. Well, I'm going to take the mic away from my father.
Yeah,
I'm
a little scared right now.
I'll say, what, Dad?
He's a private investigator.
Are you on the air? Yeah. Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, yeah. No. And
do you want that cut?
No.
No. He's saying he's shaking his head. No, he says it's good for business for him.
Yeah, good. All right, good.
Good.
Yeah, no, he's a private investigator, everybody, so there you go. This has to stay in.
Fine. Sorry, everybody.
So glad I got to meet Mr. Schneider, so that was exciting, guys.
He's
sweet guy. Really nice guy.
He's going up the stairs now. Bye, Dad.
Avid listener, too, everybody. He listens to all
God
of
bless him. Yep. He keeps asking when we're going to have Sammy Kahn on the show, and I say, Dad, he's... Sammy Kahn's been dead for years, I don't think. But we would still get him, I think.
Just dress somebody up and have him pretend to be them.
My dad had a really funny idea once. I'm going to spoil it if I may, which is he said that we should create a fake person and do a full-on interview and act like this person had a career.
Like Skippy McGee.
Skippy McGee, who was in this show and that show, and see like which people like reach out and go, I remember Skippy McGee.
Oh, he was such an ass.
I saw Skippy McGee do, you know, really Rosie at the Muni.
Preppies at the Pepper Pot Players.
I saw him do Golf, the musical, at Pepper Pot.
I actually have Preppies, the album.
I know, you're proud. You know what's so funny? You mentioned it. You know,
that's
Kevin, very quickly, you know, yesterday we posted a very special bonus episode with our friends Pamela and Ebony over at the Theater Geeks Anonymous podcast.
I'm so sorry I missed that. I was camping.
Kevin was camping. But why was I going to mention that? We were talking about
the crossover episode.
No, because you've got records, and I have never been to your apartment to ever see any of these records. And that was a huge point of conversation, which is I still have never been to your apartment.
We will change that. I mean, that will be remedied. That one needs to be.
Great. Okay. Sure. I believe you. Yeah, I believe you. When I get to sing Shoelaces and Sand in Really Rosie, which is a song I just made up.
Sounds like it could
but
be.
It does sound like something from Really Rosie.
Well, they did it. They actually did it at City Center Encores a couple summers ago.
Yeah, I saw it. It was good. I like it. I think it's a lot of fun. What's the other kids one that they always do?
The other one, Liz Suedos did it. Runaways.
No, not Runaways. Bugsy Malone.
Oh my God! Wow.
Bugsy Malone.
Jeez.
I got my equity card doing Bugsy Malone at the Pepper Pot.
Skippy.
Was Skippy? What was his name? Skippy what?
I don't remember.
Skippy Happy. He changed his name.
Skippy O'Neill.
Hey. Also, on a sad note, if I may. Sorry, it's a transition.
Good transition, Rob.
Well, now that you mentioned Carole Hall, I've been working on this for a while, but I haven't been able to announce it, and now we can. On November 5th, which is a Monday, I am one of the producers on the Thomas Meehan Memorial, which is going to be at the St. James Theater at 2 p.m. It's free to the public, so I hope you all can come out and celebrate the great work of Thomas Meehan, who we wanted on this show. He was one of the first names we wanted, and it was just hard to get a schedule with him, an appointment with him, because he was just so busy. Anyway, as you know, Thomas was the Tony Award-winning book writer of such things as The Producers and Annie and Rocky and Death Takes a Holiday and countless others. And I did not know this, and I feel stupid for not knowing it. He was one of Mel Brooks's co-writers on Spaceballs. I did not know that. So anyway, we're very excited. The event, Mel Brooks is going to host the event for us, and Susan Stroman's doing a dance for us, and we've got a lot of great people that are slated to appear, like Andy Carl and Aaronson Flaherty and Maury Yeston, Charles Strauss, Andrea McArdle. So I hope you can come out and pay tribute to a really, really wonderful individual. I feel after doing all this work and collecting so many photographs and videos of him, I feel like I know him at this point.
It
makes me regret even more the fact that we never got to talk to him. So anyway, if you can, please come out in New York City November 5th at the St. James Theater at 2 p.m. To celebrate the life of Thomas Meehan.
I'm glad. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Wonderful. I think it's a great way to pay tribute to him. So come on out.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Kevin, favorite things.
Okay, I just am kicking it old school. I know I did a cast album last week, but I'm doing another one this week. I can't believe we haven't mentioned it. I know we say that every week. But I want to discuss this about it, and I'm going to still make you guess because we haven't done that in a while. But so if you think about the history, as you are a history teacher of musical theater, things go in. You know, you have the British invasion and, you know, you can look back and kind of look at. Well, if you look at what happened right after the British invasion, there was sort of like the American sort of version that was countering it. And when I mean invasion or countering it, I mean they were still writing sung through musicals.
What did you say was counteracting? And I'm so sorry. What did you say was counteracting?
No, like in that there was sort of like an American version, you know, like it was sort of like, oh, you're going to do Les Mis and Phantom.
Yes.
And
Cats, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And have these sort of really epic adventures. Like we call them pop operas really. Yeah, and that they're, yeah. So there was sort of like the American version. I'm talking of like Ragtime. I'm talking of like, I'd even put Jekyll and Hyde in there, but it's still an American composer and it's still basically sung through. There was sort of like the US version of these. This is a show that was a flop, but it was in 1997, but it got decent reviews, and it is remembered today. And people don't remember that it was a basically sung through show. Like when I did it regionally, it was just the score you got and all the dialogue was in there, short scenes. Now the cast album is tough because it was only a one CD set. It wasn't like Ragtime where they put it on two CDs. So you missed a lot of stuff. Not that, you maybe wanted to hear all the incidental recitative stuff because that was some of like the interesting stuff.
So, to review, this is a musical from 1997, which is sort of in the same vein as like a Les Mis or a Jekyll and Hyde. So it's big and epic. And the CD was only one CD, so that means they removed a lot of the music. Is that what?
Yeah,
you're
there wasn't
me?
A lot of the incidental music. Wasn't
and you really. Did it regionally.
Yeah, I did it Cleveland Playhouse.
It's not Sideshow, is it?
It no. is.
Is it really?
Yes. Oh my gosh, Rob, good job. Yeah, Sideshow. I want to talk about now. I respect and honor the revival, and I do want to have a discussion with you about this, Rob, because I find it interesting. They called it a revival, and yes, it was Sideshow, but really, they redid it. They added songs. They changed the color of some of the characters. They made it a little darker. So can you think of other revivals, just side note, where they actually changed the show and called it a revival? Do you know what I'm saying? Like when you do La Cage aux Folles, you're going to see the same La Cage aux Folles, different production, but the book and music and lyrics are all the same when you go to see La Cage aux Folles now as you did in 1984. But when they redid Sideshow as a revival, they changed it. So I'm going to talk about the original. But I'm trying to think of other shows that they tooled with 15 years later, you know?
The only thing I can kind of think of is Cabaret, because the revival added a whole bunch of different songs and they changed the characters up and stuff.
Good job.
But I feel like the Sideshow revival was heavily revised.
Oh, yeah. They workshopped it. They did it out of town. I honor that and everything. And I'm Aaron Davies' good friend, but I'm going to not talk about that one. I want to talk about Alice Ripley and Emily Skinner. Oh, my gosh, you guys. It was this musical. Basically, it was like The Greatest Showman, but about carnival freaks. And it was based on the true story of the conjoined twins, Daisy and Violet Hilton. Now, if you don't know anything about Sideshow, and I was to pitch to you, hey, guys, let's write a musical, and it's going to be about the conjoined twins and their, you know, the loves that they tried to have. I mean, that does not scream musical to me. Maybe it does to other, but it's just wild that they did this. So the music was by Henry Krieger, who also gave us Dreamgirls, and Tap Dance Kid, but we know Dreamgirls. I had to give a Tap Dance Kid shout out. And then Bill Russell wrote the lyrics in the book. There is a cheesy factor to this. I will say that there is a lyric that says, I can feel the temperature's right. She's raising my Fahrenheit. So yes, that exists, but I think you have to take the whole thing together. And when you listen to it, I think you have to appreciate the hard work that went into it and the great music and the storytelling that you get and the passion. It's so much passion and love about it because you have the two, it's basically two guys fall in love with the two girls, but the one is like eager to go into it. The other guy is like the tough guy, you know, and the Jeff McCarthy and reserved and doesn't want to do that. And it's just about the struggles with that. And then their show and everything. It's a really, I think it's just a great listen. I just think his music is really solid. It's some things to think about while you're listening to it, to this little guilty pleasure. The Insane Singing by Emily and Alice. Now they definitely like harnessed that and used it, and they did duet shows. And you remember when we got out of college, I mean, that like 10 years ago, they were like, it was like they were a team, you know what I mean? They were like, and I forgot, Rob, that there was the only time that two actresses were nominated for the same part and not individual. Do you know what I'm saying? Like they were nominated as like the Billy Elliot boys, but like they were on stage the whole time together. So if one won, then they both won because they were playing one body. I don't know. It was like literally they just stood next to each other on stage. They didn't try to connect them.
Yeah.
But I just think that's interesting that they were both nominated. Their singing is sick, you guys. Like if you've never, ladies especially, the Beltresses out there, if you've never really listened to this, go, just do it. Just go listen to what early musical theater belting was. And I can't believe I'm talking about it like a history thing, Rob, but late 90s was still newish to belt like that and to tell. And notice how Emily will just kind of speak one word, usually the last word of the phrase, just to show the acting. There's always the cry in Hugh Panero's voice that borderlines on whiny. Jeff McCarthy is the total, like, you know, tough guy, you know, when he's got all the private connection is like such a hot song. It's such a good take on what he's going through. and how he wishes he could speak to her. What else can I? Oh, you know, the original Tobias in Sweeney Todd is the boss. You can recognize that voice, Ken Jennings, definitely at the start of the show. I think that's kind of fun. And Norm Lewis is he's like at peak Norm on this album. And it's just it's a melodramatic, fun American version of the pop opera. And I just think it's fun. It's good. Give it a listen. Sideshow. Peak Norm.
I saw a Sideshow. I didn't see it on Broadway. I saw it. My good friend Wyatt Fenner was in a production of it.
What a name.
What a name, right? What a name. I'm just telling you this, that I liked it a lot. But when they started singing I Will Never Leave You,
yes,
I thought to myself, I'm like,
the end of Act One.
But even if you did want to leave.
Yeah. No. She's not going to leave her.
She's not. This is, you know.
No, like it's. They're stuck together.
And I get it.
That part of it, you can't. That's the whole show is like, she's like, I just want to get away. She's like, but you can't get away. I mean.
Can I tell you something really creepy?
Yes.
I knew a production that happened where, and this was in a college, and apparently the two girls.
So help me. What?
The two girls that were played the sisters, the director said, you know, you have to understand what sisters, what conjoined twins go through. And he suggested, like, you know, they sleep together, like in the same bed one night and okay. And that they eat together. And, you know, one of them has to like help feed the other. I get that. But then he was like, you know,
don't you
go to the bathroom together?
No. I was worried you're going other places. No.
He went there too, and suggested, because one of the girls I think had a boyfriend. And I think let's not. But we're not going to go there. I'm just telling you.
What's that kind of act called where you like sense memory of that stuff? Come on, guys.
It's called bullshit acting. It's called bullshit acting. Is what I call.
Play pretend.
Just we're pretending. We are pretending, and we're going to pretend that never happened. So, okay, we are going to move on. So, Kevin, I love Sideshow, and trust me, Kevin, I will never leave you.
Oh, Rob, I will never leave you.
I will never go away.
Oh, man, it's just
hope you all enjoyed that one.
I will never leave. So good, you guys.
Why, if you guys are going to remount Sideshow somewhere, bring us along. Kevin and I are ready. Why can't we do a gender swapped one? The hell are them to tell me no. Great. Can't wait to see you and Robbie Rizel do it at the Abington Gala next year while I'm fucking sitting outside at coat check. Can I take your jacket, Mr. Russell?
Did I mention that tickets are $125 for just the show and it's open bar for 2 hours?
How
just
much? What? Sitting in?
$125 and you have open bar for 2 hours. That's just, and it's not the dinner. It's just like the show.
All right, Kev, I got to go. I got to make a reservation. Oh shit. Actually, I do have to go.
What's your favorite?
Well, I'm going to give you an option, Kevin. It can either be a CD or a book. Which one do you want?
How about a book?
Ooh, okay. The book it is. All right. So now that I'm back at home, in good old LA, California, I went into my old room. Lots of memories, lots of units, lots of tears. And I decided to look at my bookshelf and see what kind of books do I still have on the bookshelf. And I remembered there was this book that came out in 1994. And I think my parents bought it for me as a Christmas gift. And it became my Bible on theater because, once again, no internet. And this book does something really, really interesting. It starts in 1884, and it tells you every single play or musical on Broadway that ran over 500 performances. It not only tells you the show and the cast and the opening date and how many performances it ran, it then tells you like a synopsis, and it tells you a little bit of the history of the show. And they go decade by decade. And like I said, it starts in 1884 and ends in 1994. And the book is called...
It's not Stanley Green's book.
It's not Stanley Green's book. It's by an author named David Sheward. S-H-E-W-A-R-D. Sheward. David Sheward. The book is called It's a Hit.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know this.
Oh, it's so fabulous. The book is called It's a Hit. And like I said, what it does is it tells you about every single Broadway show, play and musical, and that ran over 500 performances. And it's interesting. It's you know, you can go online and you can look at Wikipedia and you can look at the numbers, but they tell you so much trivia about why the show ran long, and all about the cast changes and why the show was important. But it's really interesting to go and look at some of the shows from the 60s or the 70s and go, oh, this ran over 500 performances. When have we seen a production of this? Like, there's been 40 Carats, the play 40 Carats. The musicals, Stop the World, I Want to Get Off, ran over 500 performances. No Strings ran over 500 performances.
I love No Strings.
Me too. What Makes Sammy Run? What you think to yourself, you're like, oh, that must have been a flop. Over 500 performances.
No. Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, it's so weird. I kept looking in the books, be like, why did they pick the number 500? I couldn't figure it out. He never explained it. They never explain why the number 500 is the litmus test. I have no idea.
Arbitrary.
It's an arbitrary number. So, but 500 performances is about what, a year and a half or
a
so?
Year. Yeah, I think it's
eight performances a week or something. About a year, a year and a half. So anyway, that's that. It's a really fantastic book. It's a fun book. Like I said, you know, you can go on Wikipedia and you can look up and see what the numbers are, but this book does so much great investigative work, and it's a really fun celebration of each of these shows. And it's also, to me, what I used to like doing about it was, when I was a kid, I would read the book, and if there was a musical I didn't know, I would go to the library and get the CD, and if there was a play I didn't know, I'd go to the library and read the play.
So, I love you.
But I think it's a really good way to look at what was popular in certain decades and go, why was this so popular? What made this so appealing, and why?
Right.
And then you can play detective and go, well, why don't we see it today? You know, why haven't we had a revival of I Love My Wife? You know,
right?
And we can have it. Oh, but Kevin, oh my God, I was just flipping through the book. Kevin, guess what I came on?
What?
Agnes of God.
Oh.
Opened March 30th, 1982, 599 performances. Oh my God. Hold on.
Isn't that interesting?
You just, everyone do some stuff while I read about Agnes of God. It had a 2-year run thanks to strong performances of the three women cast and their replacements.
Oh, they kind of give a little commentary as well on there?
Yes.
Like, it's not just the facts. They actually...
No. And one of the critics said from Time Magazine, if Agnes of God just fails as an example of the playwright's craft, it shines as a demonstration of three actresses' seductive art. Well, excuse
Thank
me,
you?
Time Magazine. This is Agnes of God we're talking about. We're not talking about some shitty play like Death of a Salesman or A Streetcar Named Desire. We're talking about Agnes of God. How dare you? Agnes of God is a hit and will always be a hit. So Time Magazine.
In your heart.
Fake news. Time Magazine now is fake news in my book. Get rid of
Terrible.
It. So anyway, this book is wonderful.
Book. Nice.
It ended in 1994. I'm hoping that maybe he'll make an addendum to it at some point, because a lot of shows have passed 500.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
It's called It's a Hit.
Yeah. You know what? Maybe somebody can help me out with this. Is there, since 1994, has there been a play, not a musical, a play that's run over 500 performances?
The play that goes wrong, I think, because 500 is just over a year. It's a year and like 2-3 months. I think the play that goes wrong has run for like 2 years now.
Play that goes wrong, probably August Osage County would have been up there.
Definitely that. That was definitely over a year.
Maybe. Angels in – not the recent one, but the original Angels in America. Yeah, can somebody help me out? It's interesting because the musical's obvious.
Moose Murders.
Kevin, check yourself before you wreck yourself. No, not Moose Murders. One performance, Moose Murders. How dare you? I'm trying to think, though, of plays, because the musicals keep running for a long time, but our plays don't. I'm assuming that's because they have a limited run because now they're so star-studded. Oh, you know what play I'm wondering? Art. Remember the play Art that everybody did?
And Metamorphosis. Remember Metamorphosis?
Yeah, I was
that
in it.
That ran for a while.
Yeah, I was in a production of Metamorphosis in college.
Dude, were you naked?
We had nudity, I think, on the first night, and then and then we were told we couldn't do it. Not me, thank God. I played King Midas.
Oh,
they put me in a 3-piece suit with no shirt.
Hot.
And they wanted everyone to tan to look like gods, and I couldn't tan, so I put on fake tanner. And the first night we went into the pool, My tanner came up in the pool.
Oh my gosh, Rob, why do you always have these wild, weird stories to say?
And they're all true. People can tell you they're all true. All right, so mine is, it's a hit. The Backstage Book of Longest Running Broadway Shows, 1884 to the Present, by David Sheward. Sheward. Why? I am sitting here doing the Sunday Times crossword puzzle. Somehow the words won't come.
Starting now.
Thank you. Lonnie Ackerman.
Yes. Ah, I love it. And mine is Sideshow, the original Broadway cast recording. Check them out.
I will never leave you. But he kissed me for the first time. Okay.
There's some very interesting moments, soap opera moments in that.
Oh,
in show.
I love it. It's so good.
It's good.
All right,
guys. Bye.
Bye.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard. So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.